Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. John here with you today for another solo episode, which follows on from an episode I did last week. About a week ago it came out. So two episodes back, I think, by the time this gets posted on the Dropship Podcast, where in the last episode I walked through the My Backyard Zone website, which was volunteered by Ronit. So thank you once again, Ronit, for volunteering it, one of our longtime listeners. And it's part of a three-parter, that one. So the website was the first one. In this episode, I'm going to have a look at Ronit's Google Ads account for the same business and kind of just cast my eye over it, share what I think about how it's going, where it's up to, anything I see in there. And then, of course, I think next week or the week after, or a week or two after this episode that you're listening to now comes out, Ben will be sharing an episode where he does a SEO look at Ronit's website and shares his thoughts on where that site is up to from an SEO perspective, what could be improved, what's not working, what's working, all of that sort of stuff. So that one will be fun. This one will be fun. And I think it's a bit of a sneak peek. This is probably one of the last, or these two episodes will be some of the last of these sort of episodes that come out on this podcast publicly. So a little bit of a sneak peek of what's coming up for us. We will be changing our content around a little bit in the not too distant future. Don't freak out. If you're a regular listener, the Dropship Podcast is not stopping. It's going to continue. It's just going to change a little bit in terms of its focus. And there is a good chance we'll be bringing back the place where we started, which was on Patreon. We'll be bringing back a second kind of version of the show, where it's a bit more behind closed doors. And I guess Ben and I can share more advanced stuff, I think, and more stuff that we're personally working on at any point in time that we might not always want to put out on this podcast. So keep an eye out for that. That's coming up probably around the middle of November. So that's just a little sneak peek. We're still working through some details of exactly what's happening there. But it's exciting. We're looking forward to doing that again. It's something we had a lot of fun with people in the past. And we'll be going back to that. So keep an ear out. But for now, let's dive into Ronit's Google Ads account. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. So if at all possible, of course, you can listen to the audio of this episode if you're listening on a podcast. But check it out. It'll be on Spotify with a video lesson. It will also be up on YouTube on our Dropship Breakthrough YouTube channel if you want to follow along with the video and see what I'm actually looking at here while I'm talking. Let's dive in. All right, so here we are. We're in my web browser. We're going to look in the My Backyard Zone ad account. Once again, if you want to catch up on what I talked about through this website, by all means, go back a couple of episodes on our podcast or on YouTube, and you'll find where I went through this website and shared my thoughts on that. So I'm not going to do that at all. We're not going to talk too much about the website in this episode. We're going to talk about the Google Ads. And so you can see here, I've got the Google Ads account here up on my screen. And look, once again, to preface this a little bit, we're talking about a high-ticket dropshipping business, so generally trying to sell products over $1,000 here. It's a US-based business. Not that that really makes too much difference in what I'm talking about here. You could be based in any number of other countries, the UK, Australia, Canada, all places where this sort of thing works very well. And I'm going to be talking about traffic here. So, for a high ticket dropshipping business, there are a number of factors that have to come together to produce conversions in that business, to turn people who are looking for a product into customers. Having the right traffic, sending the right traffic to your website, the right quality traffic, is a big part of that happening, but it's not the only factor. There are other factors involved in a conversion happening. For example, what's presented to that person, that good quality traffic when they get to your website? How competitive is your niche? How does your offer stack up against other competitors in your niche? Because of course, it's very easy for customers to comparison shop you. And there will be other people who are selling your products when you're doing this, the same sort of brands that you are, when you're doing this type of dropshipping. And so always keep that in mind. You know, people tend to focus a lot on traffic and ads, and it's kind of one of the sexy things in the e-commerce space. And it's important, absolutely. I mean, if you send the wrong traffic to your website, or you send a particular person who's in a part of the customer journey, which you can determine based on the search terms they're making on platforms like Google, to the wrong page on your site, that's also not going to be a good fit, and it's probably not going to work very well. So I'm going to talk just about the traffic. I'm going to be using this to assess the quality of the traffic that is being sent to the website. I'm not going to talk about conversions very much because I don't have all of the business data. This isn't my business. I don't have all of the numbers. And so that's probably another conversation for another time. We're just going to simply focus on the campaigns that have been run, which are fairly typical campaigns that somebody would run with one of these businesses. And I'm just going to share my thoughts on the campaigns here and some other things. So once again, if you're kind of new to what we do here and you're new to high ticket dropshipping, you know, it is a little bit different to the types of dropshipping that you commonly hear about online, which tend to be lower ticket or small ticket type dropshipping, where you're primarily going to be relying on paid traffic that's generated through social media networks like TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or something like that. We don't really do that. So high ticket dropshipping is much more search engine based. We're selling known brands, we're selling products that people are already looking for. And so when somebody knows a product that they're looking for, or a type of product they're looking for in the high ticket dropshipping space, they don't go onto social media generally to find it. They head to search networks like Google or Microsoft, which are both places that you can run ads. And so while there is still a place for social media ads with this type of dropshipping, it's not something we lean on very heavily. We lean much more on search engine marketing, both paid and organic. And like I mentioned earlier, Ben will be doing the organic traffic version of this teardown for this particular website and this business in a soon to be released episode. So hang out for that if you want to learn more about the organic traffic side of things. So we can see in this ad account here, and I'm on the screen, watch along on YouTube or on Spotify where you can see the video episodes. Of course, you can listen in. I'll try and explain what I'm doing as best I can, but the video is a useful video to watch as well. So I've selected a date range from earlier this year. I'm recording this in Q4 in 2024. So I've gone a bit earlier because I noticed when I came into this account that the owner has kind of moved their budget around a bit. And I found that there was a larger sampling of traffic in this date range that I thought would be more useful to look at rather than more recent traffic. So I've filtered down just to the active campaigns. So you can see these are the list of individual campaigns in the account. We can see here that during this time period, the account as a whole spent about $3,500, $3,600 in total across all the campaigns, which, you know, is probably a typical number that you might run a little bit earlier or when you're still kind of trying to get results to where you want them to be. So we generally recommend people start off when you launch one of these businesses and you start running Google ads and Google shopping ads, probably starting off at around $30 a day, which once again, if you calculate that over a month, it's about $900 a month. Ronit's a bit higher than that here. So, you know, I've got a 3 month date range here, data range that we're looking at. So $3,600, that's about $1,200 a month, which is a bit higher than a starting point, but you know, it's kind of the number where you might be at where you're kind of been searching a bit for results and trying to get things, get the ball rolling, get things moving before you kind of ramp that spend up a bit. So this is probably not a bad data set for, particularly if you're somebody who's a bit earlier on in your journey and you're still trying to get your head around Google ads and that sort of thing and running this sort of traffic. So Let's have a look. So here we can see, you'll see these are shopping campaigns. We have this little tag thing, shopping campaigns. Ronit is running the sort of setup that we recommend most people start with for high ticket dropshipping, which is the three campaign search query level bidding. We sometimes call it the inverted funnel, which is a term Ben came up with many years ago. There's different names for what we're doing here, but basically the reason we have three campaigns, so it's this HP, MP, and LP up here. Ronit also has a version of this we can see set up here for one. This is for a particular brand, so this brand has its own three campaigns. But the point of these three campaigns is when it comes to search, people's search behavior online, people will make different searches based on what stage of the customer journey they're at. So let's take, for example, Ronit's site where we're talking about, Ronit selling pizza ovens. You know, it's a fairly good example. So, you know, somebody becomes aware that they would like to purchase a pizza oven or they think they would like a pizza oven. Well, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to have to go through a process of learning about pizza ovens. What's the right type of pizza oven? You know, what are the different types of pizza ovens? What is the right one for me? What size do I need? What should it be made out of? Like, these are all questions that are going around in somebody's mind when they're thinking, what can I cook in a pizza oven? You know, these are all questions that the customer is going to be asking. So when they first go to Google, they're going to be asking kind of questions or more information-based search terms. And we don't actually want to hit those so much with paid ads, because that person, in that case for high-ticket products, may still be a long way away from the point of purchase. You know, in some cases, they may be months away from the point of purchase. And so advertising on those terms means that you're going to put the dollars in, but you're not going to see a return for some months, which once again, at the beginning of your journey particularly, that can be difficult. And so those type of search terms are much better to hit with organic traffic on search engines and serve them with like blog posts that address those questions and things like that, rank blog posts for them. But along the customer journey, that process then turns into, all right, so I've learned about the products and now I'm more familiar with the products and I know, okay, I need a wood-fired pizza oven. I want a wood-fired one because I want the flavor that that imparts on the food rather than maybe a gas-fired pizza oven. I know roughly what size. I want a big one, right? I want a bigger one. I want a brick one, like whatever it might be. You start to know more about the types of products. And at that point, you're making, once again, kind of like category-based search terms on search engines to learn more. Like you're searching like wood-fired pizza ovens. What are the different wood-fired pizza ovens? And questions around that. And once again, you can start hitting that traffic a little bit with paid ads, but in both of those first two cases, the customer isn't ready to go on a product page yet because a product page isn't answering their question. You know, once somebody knows they want a wood-fired pizza, a common type of search term you'll see is best wood-fired pizza ovens. So once again, that's really a question. What is the best wood-fired pizza oven? People just don't tend to type the what if at the start, but that's really what they're asking. So once again, sending them to one product page, if you've got 50 pizza ovens on your site, doesn't answer that question. And so it's an inappropriate place to send Google shopping traffic, which only sends people to a product page. And so, but then they go the next step, they learn what they think is the best pizza oven, and then they go, then they'll start searching for that particular model. And so that might be, you know, we can see on this website, there's different brands. There's Artisan, Belforno, Clementi, Fiera Casa, Forno Piombo, Chicago Brick Oven. These are all different brands. And so somebody's like, all right, well, I want a wood-fired pizza oven and I want a Chicago Brick Oven. And then they're going to go on and they're going to start looking at Chicago Brick Ovens. Maybe they saw they want a particular model, like a CBO 750. That's a model number, right? So when somebody hits Google and goes Chicago Brick Oven CBO 750, it means that they're very close to the point of purchase. They've done their research. They know which product they think they want to buy. And at that point, it's really just a case of trying to find somewhere to buy it or trying to find the place you like the best to buy it. And so that sort of traffic, once again, has a higher chance that that's going to turn into a conversion sooner. And so we want to get in front of that. And so going back to the three campaigns, we have these three campaigns so that we can segment out the search queries that people are making a little bit and be really aggressive on people who are closer to the point of purchase and might be making search terms like, you know, Chicago brick oven, CBO 750 versus wood-fired pizza oven. The person who's just searching wood-fired pizza oven has a lower chance that they're going to turn into a sale anytime soon. And so while we still might want to introduce them to our site, we don't want to overspend on that traffic, right? Because we might blow our budget out too quick. There's more of that traffic, but a lot of those people won't end up buying something. And so having the three campaigns and the way we do this allows us to have a campaign which targets our really bottom of funnel traffic where we can bid higher, have a campaign where we can target kind of more sort of, you know, upper lower funnel to mid middle funnel type traffic, and then a campaign which hits some of the higher up the funnel type terms, which you can't avoid. You have to hit those to a certain extent on Google Shopping. Whereas if you had just one Google Shopping campaign and you were pushing everything in there, to be really competitive for the people who are making search terms that have a higher chance of conversion, to get really aggressive with bids there, you also have to be really aggressive with bids on the search terms that don't work so well for you, right? And so having a single shopping campaign or even two shopping campaigns is significantly less efficient from a budgetary perspective and can be the difference between profitability or not. And look, I'm going to say, back when I started, you know, over 10 years ago now, I was running just a single Google Shopping campaign because, heck, no one was telling me any different back then. And I didn't know any better. And yeah, it didn't work fantastically well. I lost a lot of money in the beginning until I kind of over time worked out the way we do it more and more now. Now, there is actually an even more advanced setup than what we have here, which we're going to be teaching soon inside our program, Dropship Breakthrough. dropshipbreakthrough.com/join if you want to get in there and actually start learning how to do ads properly. But I won't talk about that right now because I can't show you that in this account, obviously. But this is a great place to start. So when I come in and I see these campaigns, right, you know, what do I look for when I come in? So the first thing I'll look for I look at the low priority campaign. So we've talked about how this three funnel campaign setup works on this show, on our YouTube channel, plenty of times in the past. So just go back and search for things about Google Ads, Google Ads related episodes. I'm not going to break it down how it works again in this episode because we'll be here for a really long time, but you can definitely go back and listen to any of our Google Ads related episodes and you'll probably start to pick it up. If this three campaign setup is not working, and this is always the first thing I check when I come into a new account, I'm going to be looking at this campaign, the low priority campaign, because that's where the wrong search terms will show up. And so part of what's going to tell me that is like the split between impressions and also sometimes click-through rates. Now, they can tell you something else. But if I came in here and I saw the low priority has a really low click-through rate and it's got way more impressions in it than the other two campaigns that are in this three-campaign funnel, that would tell me that something's broken and it's not working very well. And I know straight away I need to dive in and work out why that's happening. When I look at this, we can see here in this date range, the medium priority campaign, which is the mid-funnel terms, has the most impressions, followed by the high priority, and the low priority has much lower number of total impressions. That looks right to me. And that this is often the split that you see. And the reason this is much lower is there's less of that traffic. Think about it, it's the bottom of the funnel. So at the bottom, a funnel is smaller than it is at the top, which means there is always in any one market, significantly fewer people at the bottom of the funnel than there is at the top or in the middle, right? So you typically see this sort of split. That automatically tells me that there's probably not, the setup here is not terrible. The click-through rate is low though. For a low priority, you'd want to see a click-through rate over 1%. For medium priority, often it will be higher than this is currently 4.49%. So you would often want to see that higher. High priority, the click-through rate can be anything because we're not really targeting this traffic. You just can't completely avoid it. That can be anywhere from, I don't know, point, like really low, like 0.2 up to, you know, 1, probably you know, wouldn't generally see it higher than one for sure. But if you can get, you know, low priority and medium priority, because that's where most of your spend is going to go. And if we look at the spend here, high priority only spent $65 in this time frame. Low priority was $457, and medium priority was $1,861, which probably is a little bit higher than you want to spend there. But we'll dive into the traffic and see what it actually looks like. But 0.63% click-through rate in the low priority either means to me that bids are probably not competitive enough. And so the ad rank is low or lower than you might like it. And also that possibly there's a little bit of incorrect keyword targeting there. So we're going to dive in here to the low priority campaign, and we'll start looking at some of the quality of traffic here and see what that looks like. All right, so we get into this low priority campaign here, and when we get inside, we can see there's a range of different branded ad groups in here. So these are all different brands that you would find on the website. Some of them are active, some of them are not. So clearly at this point in time, the account's just advertising a selection of products from the site. Once again, that could be for any number of reasons, could be budgetary or whatever. We're just going to look at some of the ones that are running. So we come in here and once again, like I like to look at some of the data in here as I'm sort of running through, and, you know, I'll look at this brand here, Clementi. You know, we can see the click-through rate here is actually pretty good. 1.33%. That's not bad for this type of campaign. We even had a sale tracked in here of $35 in ad spend in this date range. So, you know, that's not too bad. What we want to do now is, you know, this data looks good. So we want to click in and we want to make an assessment really is for these products in this thing. We can zip over here to the, let's find this on the site. So it was Clementi. Oh, there we are. Clementi. We can see they've got these pizza ovens. We've got like, you know, a number of different models. The models have names, which I'm probably going to butcher because they're all Italian names, and I'm sure my Italian pronunciation and accent is terrible. Apologies to Italy. We can see, like, we've got the Clementi Pulcinella, you know, Clementino. We've got the different colors. We've got the Clementi Smart. So what we're doing with the low priority, we've got the gold model. What we're doing in the low priority campaign is we're trying to target people who are searching for these products specifically in that ad group where these products are running. And so, you know, we're looking for people who are going onto Google and searching Clementi Pulcinella wood burning pizza oven, or Pulcinella wood burning pizza oven, for example. Because somebody is on Google is searching that, there's not really many reasons you would be making that search term unless you're in the market for that product. You're aware of the product. You've heard about it. You think it's probably a good product. You're looking to buy it. Or, you know, there might be a small percentage of that traffic that's already bought one and they're going back to, you know, find out about the warranty or something like that. But by and large, people who make that search are people who are close to the point of purchase. They're fairly convinced about that the product's a good product and whatnot. And this is one of the advantages of being in a market, particularly that's got a bit of branding and that sort of thing. So that's what we're looking for when we're looking in this ad group in this low priority campaign. We can see that we can see all the different products here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go in our Google Ads account under Insights and Reports. We're going to click on Search Terms. And we're going to look at this traffic here. And so what we're looking for is, does this traffic closely match, you know, the products that we're targeting? And so we can see here, it's actually not too bad. We've got Clementino Pizza Oven, Clementi Pulcinella, Clementi Gold. These are all model names. So these are people who are looking for a specific, I mean, I think they came in different colors, but they're looking for a specific product. And you can see here a good indication that they're seeing the right product is the click-through rate, 1.51. That's pretty good. 1.62, 1.81. That's not bad. There's a few where there's not really a lot of impressions here. You know, there's a couple of Clementi Family. That's actually a model, Clementi Family. So this is all pretty tight with the exception of this last one here and this one, but that's just going to be a small keyword targeting error here with the campaigns where one of the model names is like family and one of them is gold, which are common words, which you would, you know, probably push them through with Clementi in front. So you know it's that model. But by and large, this is about what you expect seeing. You can see some even higher click-through rates here, 3.57, 3.23. So that shows you that you're on the right track. So this is what an ad group in the low priority campaign generally should look like. You know, the search terms that are coming in closely match the search terms that you want to target, because you're actively pushing these search terms in here. And so if you're seeing search terms come up in your low priority campaign ad groups that are not the terms that you are purposefully pushing there, then your funnel, your inverted funnel, your campaign system is not functioning correctly. So anybody who's listening in, who's trying to get their head around running ads in this way, if you're seeing that, like if I saw a whole bunch of search terms in here that were like pizza oven, gas pizza oven, wood-fired pizza oven with no branding on them, then that would indicate to me that the setup of these campaigns is wrong. And I'm going to be spending too much money on those terms, because in this campaign, we've got bids that are higher for these search terms because they're more likely to convert, right? So we're being more efficient with our use of our budget. This is an example, though, of an ad group with this campaign setup that's working pretty well. You know, it says tracked one conversion of only 38 total ad group clicks, 2.63% click-through rate, conversion rate, sorry. That's good, right? $35 of ad spend for a sale that's probably, if you're selling one of these products, you know, let's say like the price ranges here are anywhere from sort of looks like $3,000 up to 1,400 up to, you know, 5,000, 5,500, possibly higher somewhere there. So, you know, that's a pretty good return. Those are good numbers. Now, there's not a ton of volume here over the course of 3 months, but, you know, certainly you see that. Some brands just get more volume than others. But in terms of what this should look like and this being good traffic, I would say this one is pretty spot on. So, yeah, from a search term perspective. Now, the question would be like, could you get more of this traffic? If you say it's working pretty well, could you get more? Well, you know, to work that out, you can kind of come back into the ad group and look at the product groups here. So we can see the bids here kind of range between $1 and $1.20. Enhanced CPC is on, which means Google can increase or decrease your bids accordingly. And we can see here that the average CPC is 0.95%. which is right around where the bids are. So that would suggest to me, what we don't have here is the bid simulator. So you can see here this little graph thing is crossed out. Now, that might be because it's an older date range, or it might be not enough data to calculate it. But where you have the bid simulator come up, and you can sometimes have it come up for like a group of products like this, if I clicked on that one, or sometimes you'll get it for individual products as well. Where you click on this, this is one of the most accurate ways to work out where the range of bids is in the auctions that you're participating in. Remember, Google Ads is an auction-based system to determine ad position, right? And so usually if you've got a super competitive bid that is higher than most of the other advertisers, in the auctions that these are participating in, you will see a large gap between your max CPC and your average CPC, meaning you're bidding up here and you're only paying down here to beat everybody else, right? Because, you know, there's the way the Google auction system works is it's you only pay enough to get ahead of the next closest competitor sort of thing. So we don't see really any gap here. And so that probably says to me, if we had the bid simulator, what it would probably show us is that these bids could be up to 300% higher to gain increased impressions. Now, somebody's going to think while they're looking at this, oh, but John, the search impression share over here says it's 93.51%, which would indicate that, you know, there's not a lot more impressions to get. Well, This is an interesting thing that I've seen change over recent years is that I don't know how correct this number is anymore. Because if you have a window where you have the bid simulator and this, when you do the bid simulator, which does a simulation of the next sort of week's worth of traffic and what your impression share might be, you will get two very different numbers. And I've been seeing this a lot lately, and I've tested Does increasing my bids according to the bid simulator get me more impressions? Because if you're here at 100% impression share, that means that you can't get any more than 200 impressions on this product for the, in the same date range, right? Unless more people come to the market and start searching for it. You're getting in front of all of the impressions. But I bet if you increase this bid here, and remember, without changing the keyword targeting or anything like that, if this bid was higher, this number would go higher. There would be more impressions. And while I don't have the bid simulator to demonstrate that on this particular one, I would be almost certain because there is no gap between the average CPC really and the max CPC. So I would suggest that based on the numbers in this ad group, what I would have done probably, or what I would do, is bump these bids up. And I'd probably go a bit higher. Like I'd take a $1 bid to $2 would be my test. Or maybe $2.50, and see how far I can push it, because the click-through rate's good. The conversion rate, you know, if it actually tracked a conversion properly, is good. And so this is what it should look like. So let's bump out of this Clementi ad group and just have a look and see if I can see. Let's see if we can find an ad group that maybe doesn't look so good that's got a bit of data in it. Let's go into this one, Proforno. So Proforno here had a lot of impressions. Click-through rate is a bit lower, so 0.51. So I look at that and think, maybe that's not so good, or maybe it's just, not so competitive. Now, so we're going to see we've got a range of products here. We've got a couple of products that have had a lot of impressions. These Proforno Peasy wood-fired pizza ovens have got a lot of impressions here. We've got a higher bid here than other products in here, much higher bids than the last ad group we looked at. So let's have a look at the search terms in here. Right, so we can clearly see here's some good examples of shit gone wrong. So we can see here we've got search terms coming up very different to our last ad group that we looked in. So let's go find this brand on the website. Proforno, here we go. I want to see what are we targeting here. So we have this Proformo. They also have model names like Tonio, Romano, Dimas, Mystic, Fiesta, New Haven Rustico XL, Sierra Ridge, New Haven, blah, 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 so on and such forth. So when we look at those and then we come over here, we don't really see any of those names coming up. We see a lot of, hang on, there's a few down here. Was there a Woodfire Pro? No. Okay. So to me, that starts to raise some questions, because you can see here, like, portable pizza oven. Now the models in here that got the most, that were getting the most impressions, was the Peasy. So let's see, here we go. The Proforno Peasy wood-fired pizza oven with cart. So it's a little pizza oven that's on a cart. Okay. It's probably what's triggering the portable thing. Here's the other one over here. So it's on a cart, so it's one you can move around, right? So for some reason, we've got portable pizza ovens coming in here, and the click-through rate's pretty low, right? And that indicates to me that, these are not search terms that you want in your low-priority campaign generally, because, what does that mean to someone? Like, this is a mid-funnel term, not a bottom-of-funnel term. Like portable pizza oven. Now, you can get pizza ovens that are on a cart, as in the ones we saw. You can also get pizza ovens that come on a trailer and you can tow them around on the back of your car, right? There's companies that manufacture those in the US. And so what is the word portable? There's ones that you can actually pick up with your hands and take around, really small ones. I actually sell these on a website in Australia, like really little ones. You can take them up and carry them around. And so there's a lot of variation in what this term might actually mean to an individual. And so once again, sending these search terms to a product page is not generally going to result in great outcomes, unless there's one product that kind of defines a product category, which rarely exists, but it does exist. And so once again, another term that I probably wouldn't have in here is pro forno pizza oven. That's kind of a medium priority term, because which pro forno pizza oven do they want? You don't know which one. And then we've had some other brands, I think, or other brands products popping up in here, Gosney, Arc XL pizza oven, for example. There's a lot of this portable. Now, what that means to me is that I need to find out why that's happening. Because generally speaking, I don't want any of these terms in this campaign. Now, you know, we've got kettle, pizza, gas, pro. I mean, once again, there's a lot of terms here that might be other types of pizza ovens, but they shouldn't be in here. And there's some that should be in here for sure, but there's a lot here that don't. And so the word that comes up the most is portable. There's a lot of portable terms coming up in here. Portable electric pizza oven, outdoor pizza oven, portable pizza oven. So this is a really good lesson, right? When you have keyword leakage, and look, it's entirely possible that Ronit, who's been running this account, has intended to put any terms with portable into this campaign to try and get more traffic. But I'm just going to use this as a minute to kind of demonstrate how you diagnose keyword leakage, right? When you're dealing with this. So what you do is, when you don't just go, oh shit, you know, what I need to do is exclude all of these terms because I don't want them here. That's the wrong thing to do. If you take that as your strategy, you are going to be forever excluding terms. Like, this means if you're seeing this, it means your funnel's broken. You need to go and fix the leak, right? And I'll use, like, you know, a bucket of water. You're trying to, you know, fill up a bucket with water and it's got like a hole in it or a crack running up the side of it. You don't just stick Band-Aids over it because they're just going to keep falling off, right? And they're not going to stop the leakage. There's always going to be a drip coming out of that because it's just not watertight anymore. So you have to go, you actually have to fix the problem, which is you need a new bucket, right? You need to fix the, like, you need to replace the bucket. And so you don't just put Band-Aids over things when you see a problem. It might be easy for me just to go, oh, I'll just exclude these terms. But there's always going to be some variation of portable pizza oven that isn't covered by that. So when you exclude it, or you're going to exclude too much, right? So that's not the answer. The answer is to work out why it's happening in the first place and go and fix the root problem, right? So when I look at a lot of the terms that are leaking, and I don't think about other brands for a moment, I can see that there's a common term here, and it's portable. You know, I've got portable pizza ovens and portable pizza ovens outdoor. Now, they're different search terms, but they both include portable, and maybe it's portable pizza oven. So, you know, there's different variations, but they all include that word portable, right? So what is this telling me? This means that there's something about the word portable that's causing this leakage. And so what I would do from here is now go and look at my negative keyword lists, or wherever they are, whether I've got them applied at the campaign or ad group level, or as lists at the list level. And I'm going to work out, where have I misplaced the word portable? Because that's quite possibly what's pushing this through. Or the other way that this leakage could be happening would be if I have a product that's active in here, like in that ad group. And so I've gone out of the ad group, so I'm just going to go back into it. It was pro forno. If I have forgotten to exclude one of this everything else in down here, which is just a common human error that occurs, once again, that could be the cause of my problem. Another cause of the problem, though, would be, right, your three campaigns have exactly the same number of products in them for this to work. So if you've got more products active in your low priority than your high priority, you're going to have a broken funnel. So you always have to check this. I can't count the number of accounts I've seen where I go and I do what I'm about to do. Let's look. So these are the two products that are generating most of the leakage, right? These two. So to diagnose this problem, and I'm probably going to digress a little bit of where I was going to take this episode, but this is good. This is going to be helpful for people. I'm going to go and I'm going to look in my medium priority campaign next. And I'm going to select the same. Oops, that's not the right medium priority. I'm going to select the same ad group in the medium priority campaign. And it should look exactly the same on the inside. Pro forno, right? So I want to look at the products. What products are active in here? All right. And here is possibly quite quickly part of the problem. These two products are active in the low priority, but not in the medium priority. So you simply can't do that and have the funnel work. So then I'm going to go and look at the high priority campaign, which is where Google sends impressions first to see if there can be shown there. So that's this one. And then we're going to select the same ad group. And then we're going to go into Proforno here and look at the products once again. And we're going to see, all right, so they're actually active here, which is good, but they're not active in the medium priority campaign. And so that could be part of the problem of what's causing that keyword leakage. You need to have exactly the same products active in each ad group in each of your campaigns. There should be the same total number of products active in every campaign. You have to do that. Now, the other thing I would do to try and diagnose that problem is I would go and I would look at negative keywords. So we'll find where Ronit has negative keywords here that are applied both at the ad group level as well as the list level. So we can see we've got lists here of negative keywords and we've got these ad group level negative keywords. Which is fine. You can use both. But I'm going to look through these lists and just see if I can see any particular terms that maybe shouldn't be included in the way they are. Now, these are all the model names and numbers. Now, here's a good example of one that I wouldn't do. The word pro is a word that's commonly used in the English language, and it could be used in a lot of other models and brands of pizzas. Pro is a pretty common term to use. So you wouldn't say that that is a model name or number or even a brand name, the word pro by itself. So if you set that as like a broad match negative keyword, and the intent here is it's part of the brand name. The brand name is Proforno, and maybe they have a model that has pro in it. And so the intent here, I assume, is to push those variations through. But the problem is that it's also going to push other stuff through. Anytime the word pro is used, it's going to try and push it through. And so I would keep it along with some other terms to make something more consistent. Like Mediterranean pro is better. Proforno is better. I would take that one out. That's not the problem of the leakage that we saw, but that's just something that you don't want to do. You want to look out for a little bit. The word DIY, do it yourself. Once again, in this case, for Ronit's example, it's probably not a bad one because she does have some products that are DIY pizza ovens, right? But for most people, that should be just excluded from all of your campaigns most of the time. Let's go now. So we can see we've got some negative keyword lists. So I'm going to want to go and have a look at those to see if anything interesting has been pushed through there. So if we go to exclusion lists here in the shared library under tools, there's a lot of negative keyword lists. But what I'm kind of trying to look for is the word portable to see if it's been pushed through by any of these lists in an incorrect way. And it doesn't look like these are all generic negative keywords that we're using anything here that's going to do it. I think the only one that's applied to all of the three campaigns is going to be these ones. And that's applied to all three campaigns. So that's not going to be the problem. It's not going to be in our lists. Now, it's entirely possible, though, that negative keywords. I'm going to come here and look at my negative keywords that are applied in all of the campaigns and all the ad groups in the high priority because I'm trying to look through and see if, so I'm going to do a search for portable in the negative keywords here. And there we go. I think this will be it. In the Belforno ad group, there is a broad match for the word portable, right? And so as well as there's some exact match negative keywords pushing through terms like portable oven for baking, portable pizza oven. Now, doing it at the ad group level in this case is probably going to break the funnel. So you wouldn't push a word like portable on broad match through, because that's going to show up anywhere in your funnel when you push it through out of the high priority campaign. This could, it could push it to other ad groups within the campaign, but it could also push it entirely out of this campaign altogether. And so once again, that could be, you generally wouldn't have a single word on broad match that is not, that is like a describing word or a product type category or something like that. This is not a model name, so it's a general word in the English language. So you usually wouldn't do that. If I go into the medium priority campaign here, and let's see if that comes up again anywhere in here. No, we just got Fiesta Portable there. So there's definitely a couple of things there that you've got to watch out for. Having products, all the products active in exactly the same way in each campaign, and then also, you know, not broad match excluding common words, that almost never works unless you're excluding it from all three campaigns. So I want to jump in while we're in the medium priority campaign here. Let's have a look in here. So medium priority campaign generally is where you're trying to hit, you know, like brand names but without model names, or middle of the funnel type traffic and search terms. So let's have a quick look in here and see what we can see in here from that perspective. Whenever Google finishes thinking about actually loading the data for me. So I think definitely what we've seen so far in this account, and what's kind of not unusual sometimes, I find that, you know, with Google Ads and Google Shopping, with dropshipping, high-ticket dropshipping, you kind of need to get it right. Like oftentimes if you get it half right, you just don't quite get the results, or you don't get a profitable result or something like that. Some accounts and some niches you can get away with it, but most of the time, you know, you don't really get away with it if it's not right on. So let's have a look in the medium priority here. Let's go into Proforno again. I want to check this one out. We're just looking at that one. So we can see here we've got somewhat lower bids here, which is what you would have. You would have a lower bid set here. Click-through rate's 0.67%. It's not terrible, but once again, let's have a look at search terms in here and see what's coming up in here. And once again, we're seeing portable pizza oven coming up here, which we probably don't really want here. We've got some of the right terms like Proforno pizza oven, Proforno pizza oven. These are the ones that you do want coming in here. Proforno. That like traditional tandoor oven, like once again, that's a bit of keyword leakage. And so outdoor portable pizza oven, backyard pro pizza oven, portable oven for baking. Once again, that word portable is popping up everywhere. And once again, it's portable clay oven got in here. You know, so once again, I mean, there might be ways that you can make sales on these search terms, but it's not really going to be Google Shopping in these campaigns is the right way to do that. Traditional clay stove, traditional brick oven, and so on and such forth. So, you know, these are all kind of not really where you want them to be. And it looks almost the same. And this is the kicker, right? The traffic here looks almost the same as the low priority campaign, which means it's not, aside from some of these branded terms, most of the volume here is in these kind of terms that we don't want in here. These portable pizza oven type terms and pizza oven portable and that sort of thing. So we don't really want those. So once again, we're just seeing that funnel not quite working. Like, it's getting some of the right stuff, but it's just not quite working. Let's have a look at Clementi. We checked on this one earlier. And so, once again, this one's better. Definitely. It's not. Yeah, I mean, this one's pretty. I mean, there's a couple where I'm kind of like, eh. And then down the bottom here, we start seeing like terms like indirect grilling, indirect cooker, master baker oven. Like, these are all, you know, symptomatic of a broken funnel. We wouldn't want these in here. All we want to see when we come into this ad group is terms like Clementi pizza ovens, Clementi ovens, Clementi oven, you know, and so on and such forth. That's Clementi wood fired oven. That's a good one as well. So, bit of leakage here as well, which is what we would be trying to work out why that is the case. So, I think what I would say overall, you know, just by looking at it without, you know, obviously having the person who's been managing the account during this time frame present and being able to ask questions of some of these things, because there may be some explanation for some of it that actually makes sense, is that, you know, it's close, but it's not quite right. And, you know, yeah, once again, I mean, we kind of see some of this here. We see the word countertop is coming through a lot here. Now, once again, I mean, you might push that through into your medium priority campaign, but yeah, commercial countertop pizza oven, like, probably not. I don't know. I don't feel like that's quite right. Once again, we've got some of the right search terms in here. Bull pizza oven. This is the Bull brand. That's the name of the brand. They sell pizza ovens. So Bull pizza oven, you know, that's right. And look at this. I mean, 4% click-through rate. Clearly, that was fairly on point for those, you know, particular customers who were seeing the ads and then clicking on it. Whereas you can see here, you know, pizza oven countertop, same number of impressions nearly, only a 0.31% click-through rate, meaning that they're seeing these products and going, no, that's not really what I'm looking for. I'm not going to click on that ad. And so you want to avoid that for the simple reason that having a low click-through rate is not good. You're going to pay more per click with a low click-through rate than you are with a higher click-through rate. Now, you can even see here the difference in CPCs, you know, different auctions, of course, but there's a much different, bigger difference. This is a good search term. This is not such a good search term, and you're paying less for the good search term than for the not so good search term. So, you know, there's definitely good stuff here, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up, is kind of my assessment of the shopping campaigns here. And this is what you should be looking out for if you're running Google shopping campaigns for a high ticket dropshipping business, is that you have to face the reality that your Google shopping campaigns are only good for certain types of search terms. And those vary a little bit niche to niche. In some niches, the terms that convert well are only the very model specific search terms, not the more generic type search terms. In some niches, it can be actually more generic type search terms that convert really well. And you just don't get a lot of the branded or model specific traffic. I've seen both. But you rarely want to mix those two things up in your campaign. So these campaigns, you know, certainly would need to be cleared up. The other thing I can't really tell from the data is if these campaigns were exceeding their daily budget at this particular point in time, then that would cause the funnel to be broken. So, this is just a quirk in Google's system where if you're using campaign priorities, and so we use campaign priorities, low priority, medium priority, high priority, and your shared budget or your campaign budget is exceeded and it says limited by budget here, it will the campaign priority settings will be overridden and all of your search traffic will just go to areas where you have higher bids rather than lower bids, which is exactly what we don't want to have happen with our setup. And so it's because I'm looking at a past date range, I can't see if the budget was limited at that particular point in time. And it may have been the case that it was. And so once again, if you find yourself running this campaign setup and you are limited by budget, it's probably at some point going to start leaking. And it can happen sooner rather than later in different accounts. Some accounts you can just blow out completely. In other accounts, it's more of a trickle, but you will get some leakage of some sort. So you've got to move yourself out of limited by budget as soon as you see that come up, whenever you can. So, you know, that would be my sort of things I would say about those campaigns. I mean, that from a setup perspective, they're just not quite right. The traffic's not quite right. And so while I think there is definitely the traffic there to snag a few sales, there's certainly not, it's not focused enough. And it's not in a place where you would confidently say, I want to scale up the bids and get more competitive, even though there are some good search terms in there for sure. So that's probably what I would say. You know, some other things that I would do in this account would be to have a trademark search text ad campaign where I'm advertising on my own brand name. So the name of the business is My Backyard Zone. I would be running an ad targeting the keyword exact match My Backyard Zone, because what some people do when they're looking for your business is they'll go to Google, they'll type in My Backyard Zone, and you want to make sure that you're always at the top of the page. And an ad will guarantee you're always at the top of the page. You want to make it as easy for people to get back to your website as you can. And so putting an ad in guarantees you'll always be on top regardless of everything else. And so that helps customers to get back to your site. So I'd definitely do that. I think there could also be more remarketing happening in this account. So we have a remarketing campaign here. I did have a brief look into it, but the ads looked like they were running for about 2 days and they weren't, I couldn't even view them. So we're not going to review that. But, you know, with this amount of traffic in a 3 month period, I would definitely be having dynamic remarketing ads running at some of this audience. And I would have some static remarketing ads running that convey a range of different messages, either around specific products that people are looking at or around my business in general, sharing things like reviews, asking people for help, and so on and such forth. So I know this website has a quiz on it. I would use that as a remarketing and email capture tool as well. And so we don't really see much remarketing happening here either, which I think is a must have. So those are the main things I would change. And then, you know, if I was looking to spread out past the Google Shopping stuff, because there's always going to be a cap on how much Google Shopping traffic you can get. You know, there's a point where you just can't bid anymore, or you can't get more. There's just not more of the good search terms that are going to convert. And so you have to start looking, you know, expanding out a bit. And so the expansion for me would be if I look in my low priority campaign and I see some, and I'm going to go back to that ad group that I thought was looking good, that Clementi one, where maybe there's not like a ton of clicks, there's a good click-through rate there, it looks like there's a good conversion rate. I'm going to go and I'm going to look at those search terms in there, and I'm going to start converting some of these search terms into single keyword ad groups for search text ads. I'm going to send like somebody who searches Clementi Gold Pizza Oven, I'm going to run a search text ad just on that keyword that has a specific ad for that keyword that also includes, like, the headline is Clementi Gold Pizza. The description says Clementi Gold Pizza, and you run an ad on that. It's going to be fairly low volume, but once again, you'll pick up some of the people there that don't click on shopping ads, and they exist, and they're going to see this ad before they get to the, generally before they get to the organic listings. You'll snag some more traffic, and so you're going to have a ton of little ad groups that run on any of these. So Clementi Gold Pizza Oven, Pulcinella Pizza Oven, you know, Clementino 60 by 40 pizza oven. Like, you could run search text ads on all of these, Clementi Pulcinella pizza oven, to expand your reach past your shopping ads on some of these super specific product specific type search terms that you're seeing in your account. So that would be the next level of broadening out past just Google Shopping that I would start testing. And the great thing about testing around those kind of single keyword ad group, low volume, very specific keywords is they don't blow your budget. Like, the problem with search text ads, while they can work fantastically well in a lot of cases, they can also, if you get too broad with the keyword targeting, have a ton of traffic behind them. The CPCs are usually a little bit higher than Google Shopping. The click-through rate is usually higher as well. And so if you're too broad with the keyword targeting, you can rack up a lot of spend real quick. And if it's kind of more mid-funnel traffic, you might have to wait a little while for the ensuing conversions to come through, and you might feel uncomfortable about that ad spend. Whereas if you go for the really tight model-specific search terms, if you have them, they're going to be very low volume, so they're not going to be super spendy. And you'll be able to make a reasonable assessment as to whether they're going to have a positive impact for you without blowing the bank. And so that's probably where I would take this next. You know, like I'd straighten out the Google Shopping, I would have done some more remarketing, and then the next step after that would have been to implement single product, single keyword ad group, search text ads, and then the next step past that would be to send some search text ad traffic to some of my lead magnets, like my pizza oven quiz that is on this site, to capture email addresses and do some lead generation. And then the step past that would be to set up some sneaky audiences targeting people who had been on competitor websites and send display network ads to them. So that's kind of the progression through one of these accounts that I would take. But anyway, I'm going to wrap us up there. That kind of went in a slightly a little different direction. That was more of a diagnosing the ad group, the ad account, and keyword problems for shopping than I thought it might be, but still useful, because most people I see who try this sort of setup for high ticket products the first time around get it a little bit wrong, and that's okay. It's a learning process. Like if you've never run ads before, running ads is like another language. For most people don't get their heads around it immediately. So the best thing you can do if you're trying and it's not quite working out for you, like it can play out a little bit different in every niche. And so this is really where, this is the point where having a mentor, having a coach is going to get you pointed in the right direction real quick. Being in the Dropship Breakthrough Program, where we talk about this on group coaching calls most weeks, right? This is where you're actually going to get the ads right, because if you're trying this with no help whatsoever, you're probably going to get it wrong. At least partially wrong, right? There's a lot of nuance here. And so, you know, if you want to learn how to do this, you want to watch over my shoulder while I do it and all of that sort of stuff, get into Dropship Breakthrough, our program, dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. You can book a call at dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. We'd love to have you in there and get your ads running right.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.